Amen. Thank you for that. I want to invite you to take out your Bible this morning and open it to Luke chapter 11. And I'll invite our children to be dismissed to Children's Church at this time. And we ask God's blessing on your time together, that our kids would grow in their understanding and love for Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33, is where we'll be today as we continue this journey of with Jesus down to Jerusalem. Again, having lots of things to teach, and you know, he called them disciples. He's making disciples out of them through this teaching time on the way down to Jerusalem. There's a crowd that is gathered around Jesus and his disciples at this time, and so some of the things that he says to them, you would think, well, that's kind of hard to say to those who are trying to follow, trying to be faithful in their walk. But there's also, you know, that big crowd around, and not all of them are followers of Jesus. Not all of them are believers. And so he has some word, some encouragement for everybody involved in this crowd. And so look with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Here's what the Word of God says to us this morning. Jesus is saying, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." Father, this is your word this morning, and we desire to hear from you. Would you enlighten us? Would you speak to us through your Spirit? Help us to apply this to our hearts in a way that will make us more committed followers of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure probably all of you are familiar with the old anecdote about the frog. If you take a frog and you put him in a pot that is boiling on the stove, what happens? The story says the frog will jump right out, right? He notices the extreme difference from the environment he came from into the new environment. However, the story goes, if you put a frog in a pot of cool water, room temperature water, and just gradually heat it up, he doesn't notice the difference and ends up cooking himself. I've never tried that. I don't know if it's true, but we get the idea, don't we? We know the point that is being made in that story. And what I want to say to you is sometimes we, as the people of God, as the church, not just our church, but as the church, we can be a little bit like that frog in the boiling water. It's not, or in the cold water, but it's not as if it's the blatant things, the real obvious, the in-your-face things that take us under and really, really mess with us. It's not the outrageous attacks that take us down right away. It's the slow fade. It's the gradual chipping away at what the Bible teaches. It's the gradual questioning, is this really what God's word says to us? And it hurts the worst. When we begin to question the truth, little by little, it takes its toll on the church. Let me give you a couple of examples here. If I were to step up here this morning and say to you, Jesus is not the Son of God, you all would revolt, wouldn't you? I mean, that's blasphemous. That's ridiculous. Nobody would allow me to stand up here and say that, and I would never say that, because you know what? We're not fooled by that statement. We know what the Bible teaches. We're still very solid on this commitment that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. We would not question it, would we? Now, what if I stood up here and I began to question the miracles that you see in Scripture? I begin to tell you, you know, I'm not real sure that account that you see in Jonah really happened. I mean, that's just a little bit impossible, isn't it? Or if I begin to say, that flood, I'm not real sure that it happened that way. I think it's a cool story, and maybe it encourages us, but I'm not sure it really happened that way. Or all those people who were raised back to life from their death, I'm not sure it happened that way. Well, we might still revolt against that and say, no, 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 this is the Word of God. This is the truth. But yet, in the church universal here, it's being chipped away at little by little. People are saying, miracles, I'm not so sure. Not so sure it's there. Not sure, so sure it really happened. And they begin to doubt the history that the Bible teaches and that it's actual truth. Or maybe we would say, you know, Jesus is not the only way of salvation. And again, that's being chipped away at in society and even in the church. Not all agree. It's been attacked for some time now where we might say even other religions, other cults, well, they'll find their own way to God. But it's not what Scripture teaches. And I think we would react. We would react against that. But not all churches do, unfortunately. Issues of sexual morality, it's a slow fade that's coming on strong now, rejecting the biblical understanding of what God has said. Again, the slow fades get us more than the blatant in your face immediately, hey, this is too much. We catch those oftentimes. But now there are too many, unfortunately, too many in the church and outside the church who are confused between truth and lies. They're confused between the light and darkness. And this is what Jesus is talking about in our passage, this idea of walking in the light rather than walking in darkness. And when we can't detect any longer what is true light and what is fake light, we stop receiving the light. We stop telling other people about the light because we're just not real sure about it ourselves. I like a comment that our SBC ethicist recently, Russell Moore, recently made. He said, in their rush to appeal to the cultured despisers of religion, these forms of previously Christian conviction have negotiated away the authority of Scripture and the supernatural core of the Christian faith. And listen here, here's the problem. They have no transcendent word from God to address those perennial questions of meaning and purpose and guilt and shame. There is no longer remaining a thus saith the Lord. And now let me just kind of sum up what he's saying here. For too many people, there's no longer a word from God that addresses those issues in society, those issues of morality that we come up against each day. We're not going to the Word to find the answer. We're going to culture around us, and they just don't have a good answer. It's an anything goes mentality. Well, Jesus said, I came to reveal the light. I came to reveal the truth. I came to tell you what is really real, what is really light, and expose the darkness. There were a lot of people confused. That's why, again, he's saying this in our passage today, because there are people in that crowd following him that are confused between light and darkness, and it's nothing new today either. Remember, in the previous passage, Jesus is, he said, look, I'm the greater wisdom. I'm greater than the wisdom of Solomon. He said, I'm the greater prophetic word over Jonah, over any other prophetic word, and now he's saying, I'm the greater light. There is no light greater than me. When you hear the truth from me, it's the absolute, undeniable truth. He is the greater light here. And light has a distinct purpose, doesn't it? As Christians, we look at light from a couple different perspectives. I mean, because as Christians, we see things in the physical realm, and we see it spiritually as well. So think physically with me for a moment. We would have to say that light illuminates the world around us, right? That is the main purpose of light. Everything is dark apart from light exposing that darkness. Dark is the default position. It's only when you put light into the situation, into the room, that it exposes everything else. And so light's job is to remove darkness. That's what it does. Its purpose is to remove darkness. If you have a small light, it's going to push back a small amount of darkness. If you have a great big light, it's going to push back a great amount of darkness. But that's what it does. It removes darkness. And so without light, we don't see anything. And that's what light does in our lives here. We don't know what is real and what is fake sometimes. This became real apparent to me years ago. It's happened on more than one occasion, to be real honest, but I used to go out. Sometimes I would go out by myself into the woods early in the morning before there's any light. And of course, I had my rifle with me. I was going up in a deer stand. And I'll tell you what, every once in a while, you would hear a noise off in the distance, right? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a noise off in the distance, and you think, that's probably some monster that we don't even know of yet. That's probably some grizzly bear out there, or at least a man-eater of some sort, because, I mean, did you hear that noise? And my eyes would be fixed on the location where I think it's coming from. And then finally, as light breaks, I realize, well, that's just a little squirrel. When we're in darkness, we can't perceive what is real, and we begin to imagine all sorts of things that might be that simply aren't there. I'm just telling you, squirrels make more noise than any other animal in the forest. And they can really confuse you. They confuse me at times. Light illuminates the situation. That's what it does in the physical world around us. But it does more than that. I told you there's a spiritual aspect to it as well. Light is often used in Scripture as a metaphor for Jesus. Jesus is the light. Now, he's referring to himself there in verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket and so on. He's talking about himself. Look, he came to bring light into the world, and guess what? He's not hiding it. He's not hiding it at all. He's not playing hard to get. He's not trying to be confusing here. He's the lamp, and he's not a hidden one. Elsewhere, we see in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." I'm not going to put it under a basket. I'm not going to put it in a cellar somewhere. This light is to be seen, right? Like a lantern in a dark room, Jesus is to the dark and lost world around us. He's the light. He illuminates the situation. Now, more specifically, I think he's talking about his teachings. The teaching of Jesus is a light to a dark and lost world. And the reason it's so important to differentiate between Jesus and his teachings, although it's the same in essence, is Jesus is gone now, isn't he? But he left us a sure word. And he says, this is light into your situation. This is light into the lost person's life. This is light into our situation when we're not sure where to go from here. Which stance should I take on this issue? How do I make this particular decision? I have light because he's given it to us in his word here. In other words, if you're seeking real truth, if you're seeking real understanding, you're not going to find it in any other source. You're going to find it in the word of God, or you'll find it nowhere. We'll find it in Jesus' word alone. And so light illuminates what is really real. He's the light. He's the truth. He's the only source of salvation. And so what he's telling this crowd is, I've made it clear. I've put the lamp up where everybody can see it. I'm the light of the world. Just take a look. Just take a look and see. So light is a metaphor for Jesus, but light also represents at least one more thing in our lives. Light represents spiritual awakening. Jesus makes it very clear. He says it would be absolutely ludicrous to take a lamp and to put it under that basket or go put it in a cellar. Who's going to see it then? That's not the purpose of light, is it? Light is meant to be seen. It is meant to be experienced. That's what light does in our lives. So God's light is not hidden. That's why Romans 1:19 says, "What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying there is, light has been made available to all people. There is no one without excuse, because even in the created order around us, God has given us light. Is it enough for salvation? No. But it's enough to know there is a God. There's a God, and I'm accountable to him. But he also gives us more light. He gives it to us right here in his word to instruct us, to guide us, to show us how we can be restored into relationship with him. He's given us an abundant amount of light here. And when we receive the word of God as the truth of God, it lightens our spirit. It gives us spiritual life. It gives us spiritual light. It awakens us. And so when we declare, when we sing the song, "I saw the light," we don't mean I just simply have knowledge of the truth. What it means is it has affected me in somehow. That light has done what light does in our lives, and it has affected me. It has awoken my soul. Light's a very powerful thing, isn't it? Try to grow your fields out there, your crops. Try to grow your garden without light. You can't do it. Try to see where you're going without light. We can't live without light. And folks, we certainly cannot live without the spiritual light that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the sad part of this story. The sad part is too many are still walking in darkness. Too many people around us are walking in darkness. They don't know the difference between light and darkness. When a person is physically blind, they're just walking around in darkness. They're not able to see where they're going. And so Jesus says there in verse 34, when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. If there's something wrong with your eyes, you can't see. You can't see where you're going. You can't see what's around you. You have no understanding of some of the things that are happening around you because you can't see it. But I don't think he's really talking about the physical world here. You see, there's a spiritual application that Jesus is getting at here. And what he's saying is a person who is walking in darkness, this happens when their spiritual eyes refuse to admit light. When they refuse to admit light. You know, one of the great things about our eyes is they have an ability to do something. I can have them open like this, or I can close them. And I have absolute freedom to do that, don't I? I can open my eyes or I can close my eyes, and I have absolute freedom to do that. But here's the thing. Though we have that freedom, when we close our eyes, no light's going to come in. No light can break through my eyelids and come in and show me what's really real around me. And our spiritual eyes function the same way. We have the freedom to open them or close them. But if we close them, no light is going to come in. What does this look like then? Well, it looks a little bit like this. When it looks like people who don't expose themselves to the Word of God. When we close our eyes to the Word of God, meaning I'm not allowing the Word to come into my life, I'm not reading the Word, I'm not exposing myself to the teaching and preaching of the Word, no light's coming in. And my spiritual situation is getting darker and darker and darker because the light is fading. It looks like when people ignore the truth of the Word, I don't believe that part. Yeah, the light is there. It's real. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But I've closed myself off to it. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that light. When a person is walking in darkness, their spiritual eyes refuse to admit the light. But there's more to it than that. When a person is walking in darkness, it's when their spiritual eyes begin to believe lies. Maybe they don't close their eyes to it, but they begin to believe lies. Some people chase lies because it feels good. It feels right to them. And you know what? They prefer to go on. Listen, lost people around us, they don't want to believe the truth when we share it with them because they prefer the lie over the truth. This is exactly what Jesus said in John 3:19. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. They want to stay in the darkness because they want to continue in the same sin they've been involved in. They don't want the light to expose them because it'll force them to change. It'll force transformation in their life, and they're not having any part of it. Some chase lies because they prefer them, but there are others who believe lies. They walk in darkness because it's all they know. It's all they've ever been taught. They've been deceived. Somebody took them on a spiritual snipe hunt at some point in their life, and they fell for it. That's what happens to us spiritually so many times. That's what happens to the lost world around us. Maybe they understand some things about God, about religion, and they're like, you know what? I know all there is to know about that, and I want no part of it. Somebody's deceived them. They've been confused because there is no joy, there is no true happiness in this life apart from Christ. And so they believe these lies, and I want to expand on this here just a moment in our third point. I want you to notice that we're to beware of fake light. This is exactly what we're talking about. Beware of fake light. There's kind of an oxymoron here in verse 35. It doesn't even make sense. It's kind of a contradiction if we just look at it in a physical way. Jesus said, therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Now, I think if I were writing this, I would put light in quotation marks. Be careful lest this so-called light in you actually be darkness. Real light can't be darkness, right? I mean, we understand that. It just doesn't make sense that way. And so Jesus' point here, he's speaking spiritually. He's saying that not everything that is called light is indeed light. Just because it's called truth doesn't mean it is truth. Just because it's called wisdom and understanding doesn't mean it is wisdom and understanding. There's a lot of fake light out there, and it's deceptive if we're not discerning. It can be deceptive if we're not discerning, and right here is our guide for discerning the truth. It's not what a man says or what a woman says. It's what the Word of God says to us. So some of this fake light can be found in man's wisdom, where we begin to make our own way to God. We begin to devise our own understanding, our own ideas of what should be and what should not be. It's kind of like when we sit down with our kids and we take a magazine and we start cutting out pictures, and there's a theme, right? There's a theme to all of this. So we start cutting out pictures, and then we take them to another sheet of paper and we just glue them all on there together, right? We make a collage. That's really cute when our kids do it. But when we do that spiritually, when we do that with God, when we do that with an understanding of the gospel, it's not cute, it's dangerous. And when the world out there around us takes the idea of God and they pull from man's wisdom and they pull from secular society and they pull from even some truths, maybe from God's word, and they bring it all together into one big collage, it's not truth, it's not light. It's not the saving gospel here. Yeah, there's some parts that are truth in there, and that's how people get deceived. That's how they get lost in this fake light, because they see some of it that may very well be true, but it's been mixed with so much that is not light that it becomes dangerous. So fake light is found in man's wisdom, but it's also found in the false religions around us. Many religions. There are many out there, aren't there? Seems like everywhere you look, there's something new all the time, isn't there? All these religions out there, and they all claim a light. They all claim to have truth. They all claim to have authentic light, but it's just really more darkness. It's really more darkness. They claim to have a God or gods. They claim to have a way of salvation, so to speak. They claim to have many things that we would say, well, that's very similar to what we have. Yeah, maybe their methods are a little bit different. Maybe they do things not quite the way we would do them, but we shouldn't be deceived. We can't let the world around us, a lost world, be deceived any longer. There's light out there, there's truth out there, and we need to proclaim it. See, they're speaking of a false light when they do this. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus made it very clear. Just getting close to the gospel message is not enough. Just saying there's another prophet or there's another God, and you know what? We'll all get to the top of the mountain even though we may take different paths. Jesus says it doesn't work that way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. If you're going to get to the Father, you're going to get there through me. It's the only way. See, all other light is darkness, and Satan desires to keep people in that darkness. He's at work in the secular world around us. He's at work in these false religions around us, deceiving people. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Here's the truth about Satan. I do not believe it is his intention to get the world out there to believe that there is no God. Yeah, I understand that increasingly people are coming to that conclusion, that there is no God. That's not Satan's agenda. That's not his purpose at all. He has no problem if people believe that there is a God. What he wants to do is deceive them on what is real and what is not. He wants to deceive them to think what is darkness is actually light. Because rather than convince us that God isn't real or God doesn't exist, he has much more success when he says, you just be validated in whatever way you're choosing. Whatever faith it is that you find rewarding, whatever's making you feel good. You see, false light seems real until it's weighed against Scripture, and we've got to weigh everything against the Word of God. And when we do that, we'll finally realize that there's no life in it. There's no truth in it. There's only death in the end. And so our challenge is, make sure you're guided by real light. Make sure when we go proclaim the truth, we're proclaiming real light, because there's a world out there who believes they're in the light and they're just in darkness. This is the essence. When we tell the truth, when we share the light with people, we're walking in light, and we're inviting other people to walk in light as well. So notice fourthly with me the idea here of walking in light. Verse 34 says, if the eye is healthy, the body is full of light. If your eye is healthy physically, you have light. You're able to see all that's going on around you. When I look out at you, I can see everything that's going on. I have light, and it's doing what it's supposed to do in my eyes. Now, think about it. Light has a very distinct purpose. If I walk out if I walk out into the sun, or all of us, maybe we take our service one Sunday, and we're having it outside, and the sun is shining bright, there's not a cloud in the sky, that light's going to do something, isn't it? That light's going to do something. Now, for those of you who maybe have my skin coloration, it's not going to be so bad. It's just going to make me darker. I'm going to get a nice tan out of it, but some of you aren't going to fare so well, are you? You're going to go out there, and you're going to get burnt. But you know what? Whether you tan or whether you burn, the point is light is going to do something when you stay in it, right? It's going to change us in some way. It's going to transform us in some way. That's what light does. That's what it's supposed to do. If you walk in the light of Christ, if you receive him, if you receive his word, it's also going to change you. That's what light does. It changes the situation. It illuminates the situation, and it changes those who encounter it. It makes us more passionate worshipers of Jesus Christ because we see the truth and we want more and more and more of the truth and we can't get enough of it. It changes who we are. It makes us more passionate. It makes us more loving. We're able to love our family better. We're able to love our coworkers better. We're able to love our enemies better. We're able to love the least of these, as Scripture calls them. It changes who we are. Makes me obedient to God's word. If I'm gonna be walking in the light, I'm gonna have to receive the light. If the lost world around us is gonna be walking in the light as we are, they're gonna have to receive the light. How are they gonna receive the light? Well, we're gonna have to reflect the light to them. We're gonna have to be reflectors of that light. You see, I was talking a moment ago about what sunshine does to us if we go outside. It for some of us, it burns, doesn't it? I can remember always growing up, my brother hated this because he was very fair-skinned and I was dark-skinned. And so I would just tan and have no problems, but he would burn like crazy anytime we were out in the sun for a while. And boy, if you just got your hand near him, it began to radiate heat, didn't it? That sun that had changed him, that had affected him in that way, caused him to radiate heat. Guys, that's what the light of Christ should do in us. It ought to change us and then cause us to radiate that energy, that light, begin to reflect that light back into the world around us. We have to reflect the light. Now, it's interesting in Scripture. If you look in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But you know what? We've got to take all of Scripture in context. In Matthew 5:14, we see Jesus saying, you are the light of the world. How can that be? How can that be? Either Jesus is the light of the world, or we're the light of the world as the church, right? And the answer is, yes, both. Both. You see, it's sort of the relationship that the sun has with the moon. When you go out at night and there's a huge full moon, maybe one of those super moons, man, you could almost do at nighttime what you would do during the day, can't you? For those of you farmers, I'm sure you really like a big, bright moon at night. And you would say, that is a great light. I can see everything from that light. But guess what? The moon isn't a light. Not in and of itself. It's not the source of any light. The sun is the source of light for the moon. And this is how Scripture tells us we're to be the light of the world. Jesus is the authentic light. He is the source of light, and his word is the source of life. He calls us to be the moon. Reflect that light, to reflect it. If something else is eclipsing that, something comes between us and the moon and the sun, guess what? The moon is going to have no light to reflect. Same thing with us. If we let sin into our lives, if we let some idol, something that we prioritize more than God, we can't reflect the light of Jesus in our lives. We're to be just like the moon. Reflect the light of Jesus. reflect it. Be the light of the world. As Christians, we're called to proclaim the gospel message, to proclaim the light of the gospel. And if we only receive it for ourselves, if we only ever receive God's truth into our lives, but never pour it out of our lives, we just become spiritual gluttons. Fill ourselves more and more and more, gorging ourselves on the word, on the light, on the truth, and never passing it on to other people. This isn't what we've been called to. This isn't the essence of walking in the light. Walking in the light means I'm receiving the light, and I'm also reflecting the light in a very powerful way, because the source is powerful, not because there's anything great in me. You see, today's message is a message of good news to us. It truly is. You think about it. God has not left us in spiritual darkness. He's given us light in Jesus Christ. To make us wholly bright, he's given us the light of the world. He's given us the light of Jesus. Now listen to the proclamation of victory in John chapter 1 and verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, we can rejoice today because when the light has come into us, there is no darkness strong enough to remove that light from our lives. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If we bask in the light of Jesus this morning, it'll change us. And if we bask in it long enough, we should be radiating that light. We should be reflecting that light to the lost world around us. Will you be that reflection of Christ's light this week? Will you be the one to take it, take the word of Jesus, the gospel message to someone who is lost and without Christ this week? Will you reflect that light in some way this week? Many around us are walking in darkness. They don't see the truth that we have in Christ. They're believing a false light, and it leads to death. It leads to more darkness, even though they think it's light. Will you be that light this week? Some of you have noticed, and I made reference to it earlier this morning, the bulletin insert in your bulletin, this project or this ministry opportunity we call Operation Inasmuch. Inasmuch as you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. This is the idea. This is the heart of this particular day, this Inasmuch day on September 12th. It's an opportunity for us to reflect the light of Jesus through service projects, through the proclamation of the gospel. We should never do one without the other. It's an opportunity for us to reflect the light of Jesus. It's the day to serve like Jesus did, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out with love, the love of Christ, to our community around us. And this is an initiative that all of the churches in our association are combining together to do one huge reflection of Christ to our community. Taking the message of Christ to our community and taking the love of Christ through serving our community. And we're going to affect as much of this county as we possibly can. The only thing necessary to do that is the power of Christ in us and us to be there. To be a part of it, to take part. You see in there many opportunities on the back: car care, yard cleanup, minor home repair, evangelism, prayer walking, hospital and nursing home visits. Listen, if the light of Christ is in us, we have an obligation to go share that light with other people. We have an obligation to go share the love of Christ and the light of the gospel with other people. And so, how can you serve? How can you serve on that day? I thought it was very appropriate, our particular Sunday school lesson this morning. Didn't plan it that way, but love when it works out that way. Talking about service, how to serve other people. It starts with being passionate about Jesus. And then when the gospel works in us, we begin to love other people around us. They may not look like us, smell like us, talk like us, or dress like us, but they need Jesus just like us. This is an opportunity for us to serve, calling all of our churches together to unite together to flood Owen County with the love of Jesus. And so what I want to encourage you to do is take out that bulletin insert. Take it out and look at it, fill out that information, and ask yourself, anything here that maybe I feel like I can contribute to? There's a space at the bottom. If there's nothing there that particularly suits you, write something in. We'll consider that as well. We want to flood this county with the love of Jesus, reflecting his light to a lost and dying world. That's what we're called to do. And so let our service this week, let our service, even as we look forward down the road to September 12th, to that inasmuch day, let our service reflect who we are in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have given us light because you have given us your Son. You've given us everything we need for salvation, for godly living. Father, I pray that we would take it, we would receive it. Let it change us. Let it conform us to the image of Christ. And Father, I pray that we would reflect it as well. There may be some here this morning who would say, Brother Tim, I don't know what you're talking about because I've never fully surrendered my life to Jesus. I don't know what it means to receive his truth and to reflect it back to others. Father, would you help them to realize today could be the day of their salvation? Would you give them the boldness here in just a moment as we sing, step out into the aisle, come forward. They don't need to have magical answers. They don't need to have a speech all planned. They just need to say, I need Jesus. Would you give them that boldness this morning? Father, for the rest of us, would you give us the concern, the heart, the love to serve other people, to reflect the light of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, and his love for a lost and dying world to them this week? Father, burden our hearts with this message. Burden our hearts for the light so that we can shine wholly bright and be effective for your kingdom. Father, have your way. Move during this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.